Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Well, why not embark on a journey right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
Why do we need to apply the blood? Why do we need the blood of conquest? Because we are living in difficult times. We are living in perilous times. I hope my Zulu is not getting the better of me. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Perilous means full of danger. We are living in times that is full of danger. A lot of things are happening, not just cyberphone attacks, whole different things, children getting kidnapped, children getting sexually abused, and all those things. We're living in dangerous times and in difficult times. When we have confidence in the blood, we put our confidence in Jesus Christ, not in our own way. What will people be like? According to the verse, they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. You'll be shocked what money does to people. You know, two people fall in love and in a friendship. As soon as money comes in, things change. Sometimes you're fully committed to church itself. You don't mind staying here the whole Sunday between services and not going home. And they give you an offer, money, wherever. And you'll be amazed how things changed. You play music for free at the church, and you taught music here at the church, and you have the relationship with the church, and they offer you money elsewhere, and your priorities change. And so people will be lovers of money, boasters, pride, people speaking about themselves. There's an ad on TV. Now what happens there is that this gentleman goes to an airport, and he wants to be served there at the airport, and he's seeking attention, and this lady doesn't give him the attention he's seeking. I think it's a Joker ad, and she's not giving him the attention he wants. And then eventually he leans over to her and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And she looks away, she takes a sip in the Jacob's, Joker tea, and then she turns over, she taps on the mic, and she says, "Attention everybody," like loud in the mic. She says, "There's a gentleman here who doesn't know who he is." But we seek attention, don't we? We are boastful about what we have and what we don't have, than what we don't have. Proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers is a blasphemy against God, not respecting the things of God, not treating God with the proper respect. And we will always say at PMT that this platform here is not just a platform, it is an altar. And so even when we're raising preachers, it is in mind that our own pastor respects the platform because it is an altar. And so we are also to respect not just the altar, but the things of God, the house of God. Not to bring alcohol in the house of God. Not to do things in rooms, things that we shouldn't be doing in the house of God. Amen. Disobedient to parents. I was listening this afternoon to my daughter Minently arguing with my wife, and my wife is saying to Minently, "Bring her palm here, let me smack it." And Minently's like, "No, finish." I'm like, "Sure." I'm like, "I better jump in, otherwise I'm gonna have two wives in the house." I'm kidding. But we are disobedient to our parents. And sometimes we've made it normal and we've made it cute to be disobedient. Unthankful, where we feel entitled to everything. We feel like people owe you. It's like, when I get to church, they must give me the best seat, otherwise I'm not coming back. Or they better greet me with respect. Or they better respect me because I drive whatever car or whatever it is. it is the house of God. Of course, we treat everybody with respect. But when you are unthankful is when you feel like you're entitled to everything. Unholy, sinful, wicked, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, people without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, people who are playing out stubborn, like they know the truth and they know what to do. You know, in a book of, I think it's Romans chapter 1, now what happens there, Paul is describing what the people then were like. He says, although they knew God, they did not worship him as God. They knew God. They knew the truth. They were just playing out stubborn. And it goes on to say, God then left them to their disobedience, to their stubbornness, to do whatever they want to do. But there's consequences when you do whatever you want to do. And you say, God is, no, you are stubborn. It's not God. Amen. Amen. Haughty. I already said that. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Where we're having my time, me time, and we don't want to do anything in a kingdom because it is me time. They have form of godliness. You know, when you check Facebook, and if you go into some people's profiles, on the religion, I think there's a thing that says religion. It's Christian. Everybody's Christian on Facebook. And then you check the posts, and you check what they say. And then you, but they say, form of godliness, but they deny its power. This is what they say, but they live that way. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. In whose image? Our image, in God's image, according to our likeness. Whose likeness? God's likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. I believe I was talking to a Zulu here. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created us to have fellowship with him on his level. God initiated contact, social with him between man and God. The snake questioned the heart of God. See, the relationship is between man and God, the woman and God. And there's a heart-to-heart thing there. And the serpent, the snake, questions the heart of God. He says, why are you? Why are you listening to God? Why are you going to church? Why do you spend all your time at church? And I was with, some time ago, I was with a group of friends, high school friends, and they all pursued different careers. Some are lawyers, some are doctors, some are police, some are gas management, some are all those things. But they asked me what I do, and so I said to them, I work at the church. And I began to tell them what I do at the church. They're like, why? I'm like, why is Smanga a doctor? And they said, no, Smanga is a doctor. He saves lives. I said, it sounds like my job. Why is Sipo a police? He's there to enforce laws. Like, it sounds like my job. I was like, amen. So people question, why are you? Amen. And so when they question, why are you? I was once watching a movie of Kevin Hart. And so Kevin Hart gets this job. I forgot what the movie is called, but the only job he could get after prison was to look after this man, an old man who was paralyzed, neck down. And so what happens there, he has to assist this man. And so at one point in the movie, he wants to hook up this man with a woman. And so they go to a theater to watch opera. It's opera, the singing. And then he's looking around to spot a woman that he can hook up his boss with. He looks back, he sees this woman. And then she's sitting next to a guy. So he asks the woman, he's like, are you with him? She says, yes. He's like, why? Does he have money? But it's kind of funny, but it's true. People interfere in relationships where they shouldn't. Why are you with her? Why are you with him? Of course, leaders should, with full permission, because they want the best for you. Parents should, with full permission, because they want the best for you. You get what I'm saying? But where elsewhere, like what the serpent was doing here, was questioning a relationship between God and man, which was a good, healthy relationship. And who are you? They ask, who are you? They made in the likeness and in the image of God. They know who they are. I am God's daughter. They should just answer, I am God's son. Amen. The moment she entertained the question, it troubled her. And sometimes, you know, you do things wholeheartedly, and the minute you are questioned about it, it raises doubts. Why are you doing this? You're fully committed to your work here at the church, to your assignment at the church. Why are you playing for free? You should go play where? They're questioning. And they're questioning with wrong motives, not because they want the best for you. Why did she have that discussion with the snake? The snake did not create her. The snake did not walk with her. She had a relationship on God's level. The snake was obviously at a lower level. And sometimes when they question you, they envy the relationship you have with God, and they question to bring you to their level. So what? You must stop going to church and be like them. You must go drinking and be like them. No, I have a relationship with God because He's been good to me. Amen. Amen. Eve and Adam had a relationship with God. Why would she listen to this snake? Who are we having conversation with? In terms of people, social media, WhatsApp, late night WhatsApp, whatever else media, things we shouldn't watch. Sin is being naked. Is when we are without God, we are all exposed to the state of our sin. And then we feel the need to hide from God, because our real self is exposed. And that's what Adam and Eve did. And then we clothe ourselves with ourselves. They sold leaves to clothe or to cover up themselves, their nakedness. And sometimes you're caught up in sin, and you even lie, and you even make it further, and you even make it further to clothe what you have done, the sin you have done. And sometimes we do it by our own works, and even sell our lies to cover other people's lies, to sell it to other people. For you to be exclusive, you cannot be inclusive. To make yourself special, we must make others feel small, and we see it all the time. For some of us to feel like somebody's, others must become a nobody. We live in the fake world. We only post or display things that are good, and sometimes even those things that are good are not real. It is false. It is lies. You go and stand next to someone's fancy car, and as if it's your own car, and pretend you're opening a door. It's not your car. We never put a balanced view of life, who we really are. We live by grace and not, of course, by works. We are sometimes slaves of validation, where we want validations from others to recognize our work, to recognize our achievements. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?'" The question was, "Where are you?" Not, "Why did you sin?" And I believe it is, "Where are you with me? Where are you standing with me?" Because if you are with me, you wouldn't have done what you did. You are gossiping about me because you are not with me. When your heart was with God, when your heart was with the church, you would not say what you're saying now. When you madly in love with that person, you would not say what you're saying about them now. So he's saying, "Where are you?" It's the heart thing. Where is your heart? Is your heart here? Is your heart still with me? So it's not just the act that was done. It's, "Where are you?" Because if your heart is in the right place, you would make different decisions. Amen. And what God does in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, God also, He for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. God made clothes. He was the first fashionist, what you call it, and the best, that one. There's not like him. Even David Clarke is not like him. Your best not like him. God, amen. Blood flowed. He had to sacrifice an animal, the first sacrifice, to cover their sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin. He cleanses us, covers our nakedness. Not only that, God made clothing for them, but He clothed them. And sometimes we say, I forgive you, but you have to work hard to earn my trust. I forgive you, but don't touch my house, don't touch my car. I forgive you, but you know, let's keep our distance. Sometimes people say it's chilled. They're like, no, I'm sorry, no, it's chilled. What they mean is it's cold between us. But to be like God, we have to forgive. For ourselves, we've been forgiven of much. He who's been forgiven much loves much. And so when we extend forgiveness, when we extend love, we are like God himself. Amen. And I'm going to read just now in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 9. But in this verse, I want to speak to us, because we've been trapped in many different things, not just in unforgiveness, not just in haughtiness, not just in pride, not just in sinful ways that sometimes we're not able to get out of. But Christ wants to redeem us. He wants to free us from that life. He wants to bring us into his kingdom, the kingdom of light. But if we don't apply the blood of Christ in our lives, we remain defeated. We were born to conquer. And how we conquer, yes, is how we apply the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by means of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 9, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved from all this and from this perilous world, from all this unholy world, from all this trouble that we live in, from all these hard times that we live in. And of course, God doesn't want us to live under all the circumstances and situations we live in. He wants to save. But God wants to redeem us. He wants to rescue us. He wants to save us. And he's given us the most powerful weapon to do so. And I would imagine every time when we lose to situation, when we lose to feelings and all those things, I would imagine angels asking themselves, but how? They have the most powerful weapon, but how is it that they're losing to this? How is it that they're losing to that sin? How is it that they're being defeated and overwhelmed by all these things? You know, when you're reading in a book of Revelation that we read earlier, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, John says, I heard a loud voice shouting, salvation has come. But it says, finally, salvation has come, and the power of Christ to do what? To free us from our sinful life, to free us from that which defeats us, to free us from the enemy that stops us from getting to God, to free us from fear. Because sometimes fear can stop you from getting to God. To free us from pride. Pride can stop us from getting to God. And God is calling us to have a relationship with him, where it's us and him, going back to the design, to what he made us to be. To have that close fellowship with him at his level, not at any lower level. For God thinks highly of us. For God thinks highly of you. Bible says you were wonderfully and fearfully made. He made you for a relationship with him. And this evening, I'm just calling you, if you want to come forward and take a bold step or put up your hand and saying, God, I want this relationship with you. I want the relationship that the Bible speaks about, where I was meant to walk in close fellowship with you, where I renounce all evil, all bad things I had done, knowing that you are a forgiving Father, you are a loving Father, you count my sins against me no more, as the Bible says. It says, as far as east is from the west, so I will separate your sins from you. And scripture says he sent his son to restore this relationship, that he may be crucified to save us, that we will have eternal life. And God wants to give us that eternal life.
Jesus will stay. The exceptional new act of worship album, As Above, So Below, is out. Get your very own copy on iTunes.
Resurrection is what we live for, restoring people back to miracles unfolding, magnificent.
Also available on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, and so much more.
Tuned into Active FM.